Hey, like I said, we have a full morning, and so we're going to dive right into the sermon this morning. We are in the midst of our series going through 1 and 2 Samuel, and just to put today's text into context, Saul is the first king. Saul's kingship doesn't go so well for a number of reasons, and at the end of 1 Samuel, Saul is killed, he dies. David does not become the new king immediately. In fact, only one of the 12 tribes are behind David. The result is at least 5 years of civil war between the houses of Saul and the houses of David. But by the time we get to our text today, civil war is over. There is peace in the land. All 12 tribes are behind David. So, this morning, we are in 2 Samuel chapter 9. This is how it begins. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel in Lodabar." So King David had him brought from Lodabar from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, and by the way, I have been practicing saying Mephibosheth all week. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. Okay, I'm going to pause right here because here we're introduced to Mephibosheth. If you want to know Mephibosheth's story, you go back to the 4th chapter of 2 Samuel. If you go back there, this is what you'll discover. When Saul dies, panic descends upon the house of Saul. Here's the reason. It is the normal practice in the ancient Near East that when a king is deposed, the new king annihilates everybody associated with the old king. When Saul dies, panic, because this is going to be the practice, descends upon the house of Saul. A nurse grabs a then 5-year-old Mephibosheth and races from the palace, but in her haste, drops the 5-year-old. Breaking both of his legs. Mephibosheth is then lame, is crippled for the remainder of his days. When Mephibosheth gets the news that the new king, David, is calling for him to come to the palace, this probably isn't an overstatement. Think Nazi-occupied Europe. People that are housing Jews, and the SS shows up at the door, says, "We want to look in your attic." The fear that would course through that home would be severe. It's probably very similar. Someone from David's family knocks on the door, says, "We want Mephibosheth to come to the palace." Mephibosheth knows nothing good can come from this. He goes, he ends up there, and he's just waiting for what's going to happen next. David said to him, "Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. So Mephibosheth is summoned to David's. He's anticipating execution. Instead, he's embraced. If you were looking for a single verse to summarize this entire chapter, it's right in the middle. It's verse 7. It's on your bulletin, or if you're following along in your Bible, "Don't be afraid," David said, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I'll restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table." If you're one of those people that likes to underline things in your Bible, or at least underline things on your bulletin, I'd encourage you to underline these words: show you kindness, restore, eat at my table. If you're to really appreciate what all's happening in chapter 9, show you kindness, restore, eat at my table. The two major themes in this chapter are this: kindness and restored relationship. Kindness and restored relationship. Let's unpack those a little bit more. The Hebrew word that we translate into kindness in English is the word chesed. If you were here in February during our series, What's Love Got to Do With It?, where each week we looked at different Greek and Hebrew words that are translated into the English as love. The second week of that series, we looked at the Hebrew word chesed. So when it said back here that show you kindness, it was showing you chesed. Now, chesed is translated into English a bunch of different ways. It's translated as grace, loyalty, faithfulness, kindness, love, mercy, goodness, chesed. But when talking about God's character and nature, when the word chesed is put together with Yahweh, what it's referring to is the consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, furious love of God. Chesed. This is what we have translated as kindness. And so when we see kindness, we think, oh, it's more. Chesed is more than, I'm just going to be nice. You know, chesed is this, look at it this way. It is relentless faithfulness, and it's life-sustaining grace. That's what chesed is. And chesed usually takes place within the context of a covenant relationship where two people or a person and God or a people and God have promised to do relationship together, to do life together. And out of that relationship comes this chesed, comes this relentless faithfulness. I've got your back and I'm not going anywhere. It's a life-sustaining grace. It's God going, you don't deserve this, but that's not the reason I'm doing it. I'm doing it because of my relentless faithfulness and love for you. So when Mephibosheth comes into the palace, there's David. He's expecting to be executed. Instead, he's shown relentless faithfulness. He has shown life-sustaining grace. And in the case of him, it is literally life-sustaining grace. Which brings us to the other theme in the chapter, restored relationship. When you were underlining, some of the things that you were underlining were that there was a place at the table, that Mephibosheth will always eat at the king's table. And you might think, well, that's nice. He's getting dinner. Yes? No. Yes, he's getting dinner. There's so much more happening at this table. Because in the ancient Near East, to invite somebody to break bread with you, to invite somebody to have a meal with you in your home, is not simply to give them lunch. It's to say, I want to be in relationship with you. I want you to be part of this family. It is a tremendously significant thing in the ancient Near East to invite somebody in to share a meal at your table. This is why Jesus got into so much trouble. Remember him in the Gospels? Remember the people he was eating with? The sinners. He's eating with prostitutes. He's eating with... People were describing these gatherings as a group of drunkards at one point. The religious elite, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, they were looking at who Jesus was eating with and going, he's bad. Nope, nope, nope. Because what Jesus was doing was, let's break bread. Let's be in relationship together. Let's do life together. And the religious elite were going, no, you can't do that. Those people are bad. And Jesus goes, let's keep eating. Barry Jones wrote a wonderful article about the significance of table fellowship in the Bible. And in the midst of this article, he said this: the table is the place where broken sinners find connection and belonging. I love that. The table is the place where broken sinners find connection and belonging. Mephibosheth experiences chesed and restored relationship at the table of the king. Mephibosheth experiences chesed and restored relationship at the table of the king. And as I was studying this chapter this past week, there was a moment where I go, wait a second. I know I've seen this somewhere else in the Bible, where this chesed and this restored relationship are together. And I was like, oh, where? And suddenly it struck me. It's Psalm 23. If you're familiar with the 23rd Psalm, perhaps the most famous of the Psalms, but listen to it in light of what we just read in 2 Samuel. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David is the one that wrote this psalm. We don't know when he wrote it. I like to think that he wrote it before the events of 2 Samuel chapter 9. He's obviously, if you know anything about David's backstory, he's obviously writing this out of personal experience. I mean, look at it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. You could hear David going, I know what shepherds do. I've been a shepherd. Shepherds will provide for the sheep, guide the sheep, protect the sheep, and I acknowledge that Yahweh has been providing for me and guiding me and protecting me all the days of my life. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, in some of your translations, when you memorize, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you could even hear David here going, wasn't that long ago, Saul was hunting me down like I was an animal. And I was literally running for my life. You prepare a table before me. Surely goodness and love. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Anybody want to take a guess at what Hebrew word you would find when it says surely goodness and love? Chesed. Surely chesed will follow me all the days of my life. And I get to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. God is inviting me to be with him. I get to be in relationship with Yahweh. I have a relationship with Yahweh that is marked by chesed. I have a relationship with Yahweh that's marked by his sustaining grace and relentless faithfulness. David has received everything that you see in Psalm 23. He has received all of this. But look at what he does next. He receives everything in Psalm 23, but then he turns around and he gives it all to Mephibosheth. That which David has received in Psalm 23, he gives away. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Mephibosheth, you have lacked everything. You have lived in great need, in great grief, but no longer, Mephibosheth, no longer. I will fear no evil. Mephibosheth, you don't have to be afraid anymore. The chesed I have received from both Yahweh and your father, Jonathan, I'm extending to you. You prepare a place for me. Surely goodness and love. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mephibosheth, you have a place at this table forever. I'm inviting you to be part of my family. The house of Saul and the house of David are now being restored to one another. Welcome home. Mephibosheth was a broken person, separated from the king's table, yet pursued by the king and seated at his table. This is what's happened with Mephibosheth. He was a broken person, literally and relationally. He was a broken person. He was separated from the king. But now the king is pursuing him. It says, you have a place at this table. The events of chapter 9 are what Psalm 23 proclaims. David has received all the gifts in Psalm 23, and now he gives them to Mephibosheth. Here's my question for us. Are we willing to acknowledge that we are modern-day Mephibosheth? Are we willing to acknowledge that I'm a broken person? I'm broken for a number of reasons. I am broken because of things that I have done and not done. I am broken because of things that have been done to me. I am a broken person that cannot heal himself. I am a broken person destined to be lame for the remainder of my days. I am a broken person. And because of my brokenness, I'm separated from the king's table. But that same king that I'm separated from because of my brokenness is the same king that says, oh, I'm a king that has chesed. I'm relentless in my faithfulness, and I will go to great lengths to make sure that nothing need to permanently separate you from my table. Are we willing to acknowledge that we are Mephibosheth? On the flip side, are we willing to be modern Davids? Did you see what David did? That which he had received, he gave away to the broken. Are we a people that pursue the broken? The orphan, the widow, the refugee, the addict, the abused, the grieving. Do we pursue the broken? Because the reality is we are surrounded by Mephibosheths. On the one hand, we need to acknowledge that that's us. But on the other hand, because of what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ, we have been restored to the table. And now we have the opportunity to be David. At the end of the day, having received the gifts described in Psalm 23, we are called to live out the events of 2 Samuel 9. Will we have the humility to acknowledge that we are Mephibosheth? And will we have the courage to be David? Let's pray. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever, and for that we give you thanks. Abba, I thank you for your hesed towards me and towards us. God, give us the humility. Spirit, work on our hearts and our minds that we have the humility to acknowledge that we are a broken people. To acknowledge that we are broken because of what we have done and not done and what has been done to us. But God, your relentless faithfulness extends a life-sustaining grace to us. So God, give us the humility to accept your great hesed. And then, Father, fill us with your power so that we can be the Davids in a world filled with Mephibosheths. Father, help us to be more proactive in going to where they are and inviting them to our tables. We pray this all in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.